Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you have given us, everything that you have shown us. It's all here for us if we'll but have spiritual ears to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, I pray that you will open our spiritual ears today. Let us hear from your word. Let us hear your truth. And enter a new era in which you can move freely among us because we are totally focused and without distraction and ready to do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I remember back in the ninth grade. And I don't know if your high schools did this. I guess that's been done for a very long time. But you have homecoming week, and excuse me, and one of the things that they would do with homecoming week, they've had all these different days where you're supposed to dress different ways. And so one of them was like inside out and backwards, and somewhere there's probably a very disturbing picture with my get-up on that day, because they took us to the office and took pictures, and then it was me and another a girl. We must have been particularly, I'm not sure what the word is for that, but then the next day, or one of those days, was also a career day, so I had on my dad's graduation robe with a tag on it that said Judge Thacker. And, not that I ever really thought about that. It was just, it was what we had. It wasn't necessarily a career aspiration of mine. I suppose some people might think, well, that sort of fits. Hope not, but, maybe so. We've talked about that in the past, though. We've talked about judgment. We've talked about not judging another person's convictions. We've been over Romans chapter 14, where everyone stands or falls, before the Lord. Whatever it is that you're doing, just do it, be sure that you do it to the Lord. And whatever it is, and don't take your freedom and make it a stumbling block to somebody else who doesn't have the same convictions. Judgment comes up periodically, and we talk about how we're not supposed to do it. But the truth is that Jesus taught not that we should not judge, but that that if we do judge, we're going to have the same standards applied to us. And that we should look first to ourselves before we look to somebody else. It is also true, though, that we're commanded to judge. But that judgment has context. We're not the judge, but we must make judgments. And to refuse to do so is actually to withhold good, to withhold justice, to withhold righteousness, to withhold love. We need to judge in order to be right. So what does it mean? I'm going to say that probably among, I don't know if it would be the most, but among the most abused verses in the entire Bible is probably Matthew 7:1, where Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Anytime you call something out that the world is doing, that goes in your face. They may not know anything else, except maybe John 3:16, but they know that one. Even Christians, even within the church, you call somebody out. What's the first thing they're going to say? Don't judge me. You can't judge me. So let's look at the context. Now, if you take that verse by itself, like most people are doing, and rip it completely out of its context, well, nobody can judge anything then. Without judgment, there's no moral standard. Everybody gets to say whatever they think is right. You can't have any standards. Anything you want to do is okay. You know, people talk about defunding the police. Well, yeah, send them home. There's nothing. You can't convict anybody of anything because you don't have a standard. Naturalism leads us to the same place because it says there's no God. And if there's no God, there's no objective standard. And anybody from Hitler to the Pope can be right. But we know that's not true. Context is important. Social media should teach us that, if nothing else does. You know, even it depends on the platform you're using, how much space you have. But we've been trained to take everything in little tiny doses. I used to be on Twitter a lot. I used to joke that Twitter would be a great training ground for pastors because you have to learn to be short. It doesn't leave any room for explanation, for context. You have to be very concise. And yeah, you know, sometimes, even time to time, I still, you know, I'll post a verse here and a verse there that will stand well enough on its own. But the Bible is not a collection of tweets. It all ties together. And most of the Bible, Proverbs being one place you might get away with that without violating any context, because a lot of those are meant to be, they're Proverbs. I've been quoting a lot of the Proverbs lately. But if you just take a soundbite here, or a verse there and a verse there, and I know I say this kind of thing all the time, but you can make anybody say anything you want to. And it's been done. You see it all the time, especially in politics. People play, you know, just a piece of what somebody said and build their whole argument around that piece without any of the context because they're trying to tear somebody down. And I've seen Christians and churches do this too. It saddens me. And of course, sometimes they'll outright edit it so that it says what they want it to say. But we definitely don't want to be doing that with God's word. And we want to be very leery of those who do, even if you like what they're saying. Jesus does not forbid all judgment. But he does warn us against hypocrisy and its consequences. So let's go ahead and read from chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. And I've gone back to the New American Standard for this one just because it reads a little smoother. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, and look, a log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and will turn and tear you to pieces. 7:1 in the Amplified helps us understand what Jesus is saying here. If you've ever looked at an Amplified Bible, it basically tries to kind of explain in line what a verse is saying. It'll say it several different ways. It'll take a phrase and repeat it several different ways to help you understand what's being said. So if you read Matthew 7:1 out of the Amplified Bible, it says, "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others unfairly with an attitude of self-righteous superiority as though assuming the office of a judge, so that you will not be judged unfairly." Kind of helps you understand it a little bit, although it'd be better if I read it. I probably should have put that on the screen, or because I knew I'd stumble through that, too many words. But the issue here is hypocritical judgment. It's unrighteous, unfair judgment. And when we do that, we're inviting the same kind of thing to come on us. And but if you look a little further down the chapter, verse 12, Jesus says, in another one that we like, another verse that we like, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." This is all kind of tied together. Now, verse 2 adds a little bit more context to this, adds a little bit more clarity to verse 1. In fact, the second half of that verse there was an old Jewish proverb, an old Jewish saying that Jesus is repeating there. You know, what you give out is what you're going to get back. Others are going to repay you in kind. So be aware of that. And there's also a warning here. An unrighteous judge, unrighteous judgment risks judgment from God. Proverbs 17:5 says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to Yahweh." So verses 3 and 4, Jesus throws in a little humor here. And we kind of miss it in the translation, some of the things that Jesus said. Jesus actually used humor in his messages as well. But, you know, depending on your verse, your translation, some say log, some say beam, some say plank. But the issue is all the same. You can't see around it. It's too big. In fact, what you're probably looking at, if you're trying to see around it, all you're seeing is your own plank. And so you see it in everything. And I guarantee you, other people can see it. So the implication, yes, the implication here is that there are some sins that are weightier than others. And we can go into that some other time, but this all ties back again to verses 1 and 2. But I want you to notice particularly what it says in verse 5. "Then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." In other words, it's still appropriate for you to try to help and try to remove the speck. Just make sure you got your stuff straight first. Look to your own self, and then, yeah, when you've dealt with your own and that's out of the way, then, yeah, go and help your brother, help your sister. There's a righteous judgment at play here that's appropriate. You do want to remove the speck. And verse 6 seems like a non sequitur. I always found it kind of a puzzling Follow-up. And why is this in here? What is he saying here? Well, I think that it's an extension of verse 5. And the way I might put this is that you can help a brother or a sister. Your admonitions, however, are going to be of little value to somebody who doesn't care about being righteous. Your admonition is no good to the unregenerate. They're not going to listen to you. We proclaim the salvation message to all. We proclaim the message of holiness to those willing to hear it. And so again, this requires that you make a judgment. You got to know the difference between a pig and a sheep. Don't waste your time with a pig. Hear me. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying in this context, of course, we're trying to witness always, and we love everybody. God so loved the world that He gave His life, His only Son. Contextualize this here. I'm not calling everybody pigs, and don't but keep it in the context. But you've got to know the difference. Now, hear me. Because I want you to understand this because of the things that have happened, and I hope that people get to hear this that are not here. If I'm talking to you, and I hope this would be true of anybody in the church, if I'm talking to you about something that I see that's not right, it's because I think you're a sheep and not a pig. I'm going to try to make sure the sheep stay in the fold. Also consider Jesus a little bit later in this chapter. He's going to talk about how you spot false prophets. He's requiring you to make a judgment, right? Look at the fruit. What are they producing? Is it good or bad? You've got to make a judgment on that. John, we've been studying lately. 7:24, he says, don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And of course, that was in the context of him having healed on the Sabbath and then making a big deal over that. But he's commanding us there to judge, but to judge righteously. So as individuals, we should know that hypocrisy is going to be exposed. If we're going to be unfairly judgmental of other people, we need to know you're inviting the same thing to happen to you. People are going to be looking. If you have something to say, you know what? Even if it's right, when you speak up like that, guess what? People are going to be watching you real close. You better live what you say. Now, sometimes people spot sin because it's very familiar. I think that's what happens a lot of times in politics. People get accused of things because that's what the accuser would do in their place. And we refuse to believe otherwise because of what that says about us. Consciously or unconsciously, we're trying to deflect attention away from ourselves. But it will eventually result in a very opposite thing happening. We get more attention than we want. But when we observe a problem, there are some legitimate questions we should ask ourselves. First of all, pick up a mirror. Look in that mirror. If you still see it, guess where it's at. Address the sin in your own life, and then you'll see clearly to help somebody else. And then ask yourself, what am I seeing? What am I really seeing? I think we thought we knew what we were seeing. We had a situation, we thought we knew what we were seeing. Well, that wasn't what we were seeing. And so we got it straightened out. Is it really a problem? Or is it just something you don't like? Does it really matter? Well, we can argue on that, on some things, but ask the question. And always leave room for grace. And if you still see a problem, then offer to help. Offer to help with love. But love acts. Love doesn't turn the other way and pretend it's not so. We need to act wisely. Seek the answers in prayer. You know, sometimes there's things you can't say, but you can always pray. John tells us in 1 John 5:16, that's what I wrote down. Doesn't seem right. I'll have to double check that. But according to my notes, it's 5:16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he should ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. So you had somebody, you see that somebody is struggling, maybe they're not making good decisions in life, but you know that they belong to the Lord, they're not they're not in rebellion. You pray for them. And the Lord will answer that prayer. He will honor that prayer, and you will be preserving their life perhaps by your prayer. Judgment is required. We've got to be able to know good from evil. We've got to be able to know truth from falsehood. And in so doing, we protect ourselves and we also protect those whom we love. Now, what about the church? We kind of... What does this look like in the church? Well, sometimes it does look like harsh measures. I'm thankful that I'm aware of one situation where we had to go that far. But thankfully, that's not anything recent. It was some time ago. But Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was dealing with a flagrant sin. And he criticized the church for being proud of looking the other way. He said, look, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You let this in, you're gonna pollute the whole thing. So then he actually uses the word in 5:3, for I on my part, though absent in body, present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. So Paul, the apostle, he judged. And he specifically says, this is within the context of the church, if you look at verse 12. And he instructs the church to remove this individual. But again, this is all about redemption. I mean, the whole point of this is not just, you know, to turn somebody out and forget about them. You keep praying, you keep loving. And we later find with this individual in 2 Corinthians, another letter that he wrote to them, what appears to be a restoration of this individual. And he says, you forgive him, I forgive him. And if we, you know, we've exercised the practice in Matthew 18 that Jesus laid out for how you deal with these things. But if you read that, the purpose, again, the eventual goal is bring them back. Bring them back to the body. God is always about redemption. I was here last week on Saturday, and I was pacing the floor, and I was praying, and I said, this place will be a place of redemption. And that is my heart. I don't want to see people hurt. I want to see people loved. And I know that some things cause hurt. Love demands discipline. Good parents know this. Good churches ought to know it too. So in practice, just to put it, to summarize it, I suppose, use good judgment. Use righteous judgment. Don't use unfair, hypocritical judgment. If your judgment is righteous, don't be silent. Because you have the words of life. Always proceed with love and compassion. Because we've all been there. Every single one of us has fought against something. I fought against something. There's things in my life today I wish weren't there. And I know all of us can say that. Without him, we'd all still be there. So I hope you hear my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have loved us. You loved us so much that not only did you, yes, you will exact judgment, but you made every possible way for us not to have to endure it. You paid the price on that cross so that we don't have to be judged. We can be redeemed. Lord, let us be a place of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.